Welcome back, folks, to the Rainbow Umbrella Group, and thank you so much for tuning in. We know it's been a while, we've lots of excuses, but we are delighted to be back. I'm Caroline, one of your hosts today, and let me introduce you to my favourite other person, co-host, Becky. Hiya, Becky.
Favourite and only other person involved in this one, but thank you for saying favourite anyway. Hello, how are you?
I am good. I'm good. I first things first, you know, everybody on that listens to this podcast on a regular basis, we've talked about Becky coming to Ireland. We've talked about it many times. Becky came to Ireland, and guess what? I wasn't in the country.
It was a whole 3 weeks I was there as well, but it was a bit of spontaneity, and it was phenomenal. And gosh, what a country, and I can't wait to try and move there. I don't think they'll have me, but you never know.
Yeah, we'll get you here. And you got into Street 66.
Did indeed, yep. Yeah. I didn't get to meet, unfortunately, the wonderful Siobhan, but we meant to, but she forgot we were meant to, so we never quite made it. Yeah. But no, gosh, what a place. And it was, you know, it was a day pouring with rain, and a Tuesday, I think it was, a Monday or Tuesday, so not peak season, and there were lots of people in there, and it was such a lovely place to hang out. It really was. And the dogs were allowed in, and everything was good.
Yeah, it is.
Really fabulous place. So I do look forward to going back, and hopefully we might get some sort of event organised there. But got a lot to sort out first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be great for you all to come over and to meet up with our crew.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I suppose we better introduce our podcast, had we?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the podcast, in case you don't know, has been created for a safe forum for us to share some true stories and issues and experiences to encourage and hopefully empower women to be their true, authentic selves. So that's the main aim of it. And today we're not really interviewing anybody, are we? We're just having a chat and a bit of a catch up.
Yeah, we were hoping that we've invited a few guests along, but nothing came out of it just yet. So we said we're going to have a podcast and we're going to chat.
We are, and we might chat about the menopause of all things.
Ooh. Well, it's something us lesbians are all going through.
Or will be, or have been. Yeah, so we might touch on that in a bit as well.
Yeah, completely. So
my excuse. So I have been around and about in a camper van. I basically set sail, I think, on the 9th of May. And when I say set sail, I mean in my camper van. And I came home for, I think, only 5 days between May and mid-October, and that was it. So the rest of the time I was out and about in the van and having a fantastic time, meeting lots of people and getting to lots of wonderful places. Reason I came back mid-October is I ended up doing a contract for 6 months, and therefore I'm back to work, which is like a bit scary, but nevertheless, I'm enjoying it. The people are lovely. And it's good to try and use my brain, which is, yeah, struggling, possibly because of menopause as well. Who knows? And, Caroline's been busy too. We both have had big birthdays, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. But you know what? For my birthday, my favourite thing of all times. My sister doesn't know you, Becky, so she mightn't have reached out to you. She obviously doesn't listen to this podcast. But she went out unknown to me. And asked all my friends and family from all over the world to put together a video. And it was, oh my gosh. So I went down to her house and she had 50 birthday presents for me, all wrapped. The first 10 were anti-aging creams, by the way.
That's why you look so good. You told me it was a filter you had on. It's not true. I knew you didn't have any lines.
But it was like presents like shower gel, favorite chocolate. There was a lovely present. There was lots of other nice presents. But one of the presents she handed me was a box of tissues and a USB stick.
Oh, wow.
And they'd already seen they'd already watched it. And my brother-in-law had put everything together. So I just bawled my eyes out for over half an hour watching.
Greetings from people all over the world.
Yeah.
How incredibly special. What a beautiful, beautiful gift.
Yeah. So she only did it based on who she knew that I knew, you know what I mean? She asked Sev obviously to help out with that. But yes, I'm sorry.
Wow. No, that is lovely. I did one for a friend who turned 50 over in Australia. And for some strange reason, I thought it'd be really good to do it from my bathroom because I happened to be in the bath, but obviously very nicely covered up. But the acoustics are better in the bathroom, aren't they? So that was my logic for singing to her there. But yeah, it was, yeah, it's lovely when you can do those things and the technology that, you know, is around there to enable you to do that now. But I can't imagine receiving something so beautiful as that. That must have been very hard to absorb.
Oh, yeah, there was so much there. And so people went into so much trouble by going places that we would have gone to, or just all, yeah, it was lovely.
Oh, gosh, that is stunning. And what a wonderful thing. And you got away as well, which is nice. And I believe you're going away soon as well. You're off to Christmas markets.
Yes, yeah, off to the Christmas markets in Zagreb. So that'll be lovely. And yeah, so it's been busy. We've been traveling, obviously all COVID safe, and lots of paperwork involved in doing all of these trips. But yeah, we thought more things would be available and open. There, it looks like we could be closing down a little bit more soon, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, it's still there, isn't it? It's still very much there, and it does vary how each country is dealing with it. But I hope to get my booster jab because I'm of that age now, so I've only got to wait another month. So yeah, that will be good. And I've also been invited for another health check. Obviously, reaching that age, it means we're entitled to yet another health check. And it's like, I think I want to lose the summer weight gain before I go.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's the aim there. But talking of health then, so you've got some big projects that you're working with, both within your organisation that you work for, but also just generally your want and will to obviously help and support other people out there. And you've taken on this project within your organisation.
Yeah,
to raise awareness of menopause.
Yeah, so and
can you share a bit about that?
It's huge, and most of our listeners are probably coming up to that age or near that age, because menopause affects women from the age of about 40 plus. Even though we're quite in denial, I know I was at 45 when my doctor, an acupuncturist, kept saying, "Yeah, you're perimenopause. This would be expected around your periods or whatever." But you know, I was like, no, I'm not 50, and all I know about menopause is my period stop and my pot flushes. That's all. Well, I tell you, once you start educating yourself on this, it is scary. But one of the things that I've been talking to my organization about to get them to listen, because we don't have a menopause in the workplace policy, and neither does any of our health insurance companies in Ireland. Bupa have only just brought one in the UK. So they've only just brought something in, and it's an extra on your benefits. But 900,000 women in 2019 left their job because of the menopause in the UK. 900,000. That's a lot. Menopausal women are the fastest growing workforce demographic.
So that's the returners coming back, is it?
This is the age group of the workforce demographic that's coming up, the fastest growing workforce. We're coming up to menopause.
Oh, I see. Yeah. That's our network. Yeah. Our population explosion.
So if you think, if we're not looking after those women, and most women at the age of 50 are at the height of their career. So you're talking about losing massive C-level execs in companies and people with so much experience because of brain fog, the pain, the exhaustion going on. Now, I don't want to have this conversation with menopause is an awful thing. You know what? It's quite empowering when your periods stop. I'm happy. But there is something that's so important. We need to embrace it. It's going to happen. And once we look after ourselves and get the right help, it'll be good. You know what I mean? So being ahead of it, and especially if you're not happy with what your doctor is saying, because the biggest thing in Ireland and the UK, I believe, is when women go to the doctor, they're put on antidepressants because the doctors don't understand or have enough education around the menopause. So if you're not happy, go and find a menopause specialist. Go and find somebody who knows them and ask, do you know about the menopause? Are you educated on the menopause? There's so many options. I mean, I'm not going to start harping on about HRT. I love HRT, it works for me, but there's lots of other plant-based diets you can go on, or other ways of helping you with the hormones and the vital hormones you're losing, like estrogen and progesterone, because your mind, once you start losing those hormones, brain fog, your body, the aches and pains. I had something that I went on for ages, and it was, I had this really scratchy head, like a scalp, and I thought there was something wrong with the shampoo. I was nearly writing to the shampoo company to tell them there was something wrong with the shampoo. And then I started using non-sulfate shampoo, but it isn't, it's hormones. You're losing these hormones that affect different parts of your body. Vaginal atrophy, which I have to say very slowly because I say it wrong, nobody talks about, and it's one, sex can be sore for women, there's, you're losing testosterone because you, and you're, so you're not actually interested in sex, dryness, so there's lots of things out there that can help people, over-the-counter stuff. And going to your doctor, they can help you as well. So it really, for me, my objective in my organization is to educate women and make sure they know it's not just about your periods ending and, you know, hot flushes, because that's just, God, if it was only that, it'd be great. But also to make sure that they stay in a workforce, to stay in the workforce and they don't leave, because these women have amazing experience in the company. They're amazing at their jobs. And they shouldn't have to leave because the company don't support them.
Or understand it, because I think that's the big thing. You know, there's this whole, it's still a comic line, isn't it, almost? It's like, oh, she's going through a menopause. You know, just run away from her or steer clear of her, just accept what's going to happen. And changing that perception, I think, is really important. So it's interesting you wanted to educate women, but actually the understanding from the male workforce too, and maybe the younger workforce, is really important as well, because it's this stereotype that we have around women of our age. Yeah. And it's heartbreaking, really, isn't it? It's still acceptable. Yeah. You know, we talk about many things about being discriminatory. I can't say it for me. Discriminatory. Well, yeah, being discriminated against, but it's just, oh, I still can't say it anyway. I won't bother trying now. So for me, it's about ensuring that people are aware that actually, one, it's not particularly nice to say that about somebody or to somebody. And we need to be more gentle with these people. And I think we had a quick chat about our emotions and trying to hold, you know, if someone's too nice to me or if I'm being told off, potentially it can lead to a tear in my eye, which I've got no control over shedding. You know, it's not that it's really cut me or bothered me that much. It's just, it's my emotions, it's my hormone levels at the moment. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to spread that awareness, isn't it?
Yeah. And one of the things, I think there's two threads to how I want to educate people, because I think if you're a man and you have a mother, a wife, a daughter, you work for women, you work with women, they need to be educated on what's going on. They need to know. And I think men are getting better at educating themselves around it, because divorce rates are massive around this age. Suicide rates in women are massive around this age. So it is important that if somebody's wife partner isn't educating themselves, then somebody else needs to be. Also, a really important one is having that discussion with your partner. If, you know, because there's one thing you hear a lot about with women is they're saying the anger, that anger they have, and like, that must be awful. Now I'm on the HRT, so I'm feeling a lot better around it. But I've given my partner words that she and my sister can say to me if they think I'm going off the rails and it's menopausal. So I've given them the words of saying, you can ask me, have I changed my patch recently? And that's just kind of making me realize, have I changed my patches? This is why I'm off the wall. So, you know, because they need those words to ask you, are you okay? And is this a menopausal episode you were having?
And do you know whether it is or not? You know, would you know? Because that's the thing that scares me the most. I'm still regular as clockwork and still have my periods, etc. And literally the day before I come on, I'm really emotional. And then I come on, it's like, oh, thank goodness for that. I know what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm scared when that tell sign of actually having a period stops and it's literally I'm emotional. Is, you know, I'm really quite nervous. It's like, oh, is this actually now a spiral? Am I getting depressed or getting anxious? Or is this just my hormones? Yeah. So if somebody asks you that direct question, have you changed your patch or whatever, mm-hmm. would you actually know, am I being hormonal or reacting? Do you know then? You can work it out.
It's day-to-day change as well. And you go, okay, if I take this estrogen and progesterone, this is how I feel. And if I forget to take it or I get mixed up on the days or whatever, you can feel your body lose it. Like, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I've got a lot to learn too. And, you know, I get involved a lot in organisations with their HR policies and stuff. I've never really thought about a menopause policy. And it's a really interesting one that we should take incredibly seriously, especially with the stat that you said, you know, nearly 1 million people leave in the UK, you know, at that age range. And there's a lot of wealth of knowledge, and not just the wealth of knowledge, you know, that role within the team, you know, that bit of a maternal role or bit of a steady hand, potentially. It's a shame to rock that in the workforce, isn't it?
Yeah. So like if people are wearing uniforms, they have to have consideration on what uniforms would work for women who are going through hot flushes. And that's a huge part for the nursing community, any woman that has to wear a uniform, full stop. That needs to be taken into consideration. Anybody who works in an office, because in most offices these days, you know, the way back in the day you could control that temperature, there was always fights about that air conditioning, who moved it up, who moved it down, whatever. All that's regulated from a computer system now. But they need to have an area in the office that's cooler to go to if they have to be in the office. I've been on some webinars with the menopause with HR organizations and legal organizations. And this is what was quite interesting, because I don't agree with it. You know, you can't fire a woman if she's pregnant. Yep. In Ireland, by law, you wouldn't be allowed to fire a woman or put her on a performance review or make her redundant if she's pregnant in those 9 months. You're not able to. They're talking about not being able to fire a menopausal woman. And how more court cases are going to come you're going to see a lot more court cases happening over the next few years if women are being fired out of their job because of performance if they're menopausal, in the menopausal age. Now, look, menopause, that can last for 10 years. You know,
yeah.
If somebody's not doing their job for 10 years and they're not allowed to fire them, but there was a legal team on talking about this. It was very interesting. You're like, wow.
Does that happen in any part of the world, as far as you're aware?
Well, this was a UK team that we're talking
about. Yeah, I was wondering if this has come across again from America and things like that. Because you've got to be able to performance manage, and you've got to be able to work, think of the greater good of the whole team. So I understand about protecting women's rights, totally. But equally, it could backfire as well to a certain extent that people won't recruit at that level. So it
yes.
could, yeah. Bearing in mind, there's a lot of work going on about the balanced scorecard for recruitment now, rather than, you know, like a positive discrimination, if that makes sense. So it's quite interesting to think that we may gain with one hand and then lose it with the other if we've got this legislation coming in too. Very interesting, isn't it? But yeah, I think awareness is the pivotal thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's about, I suppose, looking after yourself and finding what works for you. Look, that cancer research that happened years ago around HRT, please educate yourself on it. It's a load of rubbish based on who they were talking to and who they did that survey on. So look, that was a huge anti-HRT campaign, which was ridiculous. So for people, just don't think, oh, HRT causes cancer. No, educate yourself on it. It's different for everybody. And I'm not a medical person. This is how I'm educating myself on, you know, I'm reading a lot. I'm doing a lot of podcasts, listening to a lot of podcasts on the menopause. But really, it is about just understanding your body and finding a doctor that will help you through your process, whatever that looks like. So that's important. Some people might need antidepressants based on other stuff going on in their life. So it is really just about if you are 45 plus, just just monitor what's going on. I mean, there's lots of apps. There's a Moody app by Amy Thompson. You can monitor all your symptoms every day, and it helps you define what is happening with your body. Balance is another one. But there are apps out there you can start tracking, you know, your periods, your feelings, your hormones, your moods, what's going on. And then it just kind of puts together some helpful tips on how to manage that as well.
So give me those apps again.
Moody.
Yep.
Amy Thompson, she has a book called Moody as well, and she's Instagram. So she's always talking about hormones, and this app is about hormones. So if you're even having your periods and everything's fine, and just you're not sure what is going on with your body, the first thing your doctor is going to ask you to do is track all of that. So why not track it in an app? Balance is another one. That's very similar to Moody. Instagram, follow Amy Thompson, follow Dr. Lundy, Dr. Deirdre Lundy. She's a really good menopause consultant. There's loads of really good menopausal doctors, medical doctors. Just find some, like, make sure they're qualified.
Yeah. It's absolutely fascinating. So thanks for bringing it up. Because not just in the context of my contract I'm doing for work at the moment, but obviously for me pertinently as well.
Yeah.
Those around me. I've got my uni reunion this weekend, next weekend, and we're getting together and we're having a bit of a midlife crisis of having an 80s themed evening. So we're away for the whole weekend. And we're all through various stages, obviously, because we're all similar ages, of menopause. And I know I've seen a couple of my friends' husbands recently, and they sort of duck for cover quite often. Yeah. And it's like, this is a really real thing, isn't it? And as much as I feel 27, this is going to inevitably hit me very shortly, I'm sure. And it will be an interesting thing. Because I also think for people, it's not just about the people that you're with. If you're on your own, it can really screw you up, because you really just don't know what's going on. You think you're losing your marbles, don't you?
Yeah. Brain fog is awful on it, like for work and things. You really need to write everything down and track everything. Brain fog, like just remembering people's names sometimes. It's or what you walked into the room for. I thought, like, I was thinking, do I have dementia? Like, well, it's hard where you think. And, I, you know, no.
It's a real thing, as you know. I still don't have a sense of smell, and that's one of the other signs of, first signs of dementia. Mm-hmm. So it's like, gosh, yeah. So it's always good to know. And I think you're absolutely right. There's so much content out there now that we can look at. I love this idea of an app. Yeah. I use app for other things, and it's just like, I've not really thought about that. It's good. Mm-hmm. Because you're right. One of the first things you'll be asked for by any medical profession is to say, okay, well, what's happening? What are the common themes?
Yeah, and how often?
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, there you go. I never thought I was going to be talking menopause with you on a Thursday afternoon in November.
Oh God. But this isn't a bad thing. Like, really, you know, it's quite empowering. Once you get a handle on it. And I've changed to HRT 3 or 4 times in a year, just because I wanted to change different ones and I didn't think they were working. But I owned my journey in this, because if I didn't, I'd be on the wrong HRT, which was back in, a year ago when there was a mess up on something. So I made sure I contacted my doctor. No, I need this because of this. And they were like, actually, you're right. Yes. So don't just rely. Most people don't read. The side effects are the instructions on most packages, but everybody reads the HRT side effects and what you need to know, and understand it, and just make sure if it isn't working and you try it out for 3 months, try something else. There's loads of different ones out there, and sometimes you need something stronger.
Yeah. And that's mostly, I suppose, it's for the mood swings, is it? And for the flushes, it helps control of those
swings. Pain, aches,
yeah,
brain fog. I mean, what you're doing is you're putting estrogen and progesterone back in your body that you're losing. So it's just, it depends how long it takes or how long you've been going through this as well. So if you've been doing this for 2 or 3 years and you haven't given your body back any of these hormones, it might take a little longer to kick in. But once it kicks in, and it takes three months, you have to give something 3 months to work. But it is just, look, it, you know, once you start feeling semi-normal, and that's what most of the women are coming back with, they're feeling normal again.
Mm. You know?
And then there's the question, how long do you stay on HRT? Well, depending on who you ask, but to be honest with you, I'm here for life. I'm a lifer because I'm not coming off this, because I'll always have lost these hormones. So why would I come off it?
So interesting. And of course, there's all the other side effects of, you know, brittle bones and stuff with the lack of estrogen. And, it's a lot to be considered. And of course, you're quite right. We've got to own our own health. We've got to own the situation and make an informed decision that's right for us. There's no one size fits all, is there? It's just what's right for us. And finally, that medical professional that is going to support you with those decisions is a really big thing to do.
Yeah. Don't forget, they're all overworked. They're all very busy. You can't expect them to remember everything that you've told them. You remember everything, hopefully, that you've told them. But no, own it. And if you're not happy, find someone. You know, don't just go with it. Like, you know, make sure you're happy with decisions. If you're not, get a second opinion. I think that over in the UK, it's free, isn't it? The doctors.
Well, it's different. Yes, there's different doctors you can go to. It's we're terribly under-resourced, as you know, and we've got a real problem at the moment with ambulance drivers. But that's endemic. It goes through the whole thing. So I booked a dentist appointment today, and I expected to go to the hygienist. I thought, well, I can get in sort of beginning of December. I'm booked in for March. And sadly, the introductory call says if anybody is rude to our staff, because we do not have the same capacity as before COVID, you cannot manage it in that way, then we reserve the right, obviously, to remove you from our books. And I spoke to the receptionist. I said, I'm so sorry if you get a tough time. And I'm only doing some preventative stuff, so I haven't got a problem. So March isn't too much of a problem for me. But gosh, we are terribly under-resourced at the moment. Yes. And, you know, so do own it. Do your own research, I suppose. But be mindful that it is your own research and we're not medical professionals. But there will be people out there that are medical professionals on apps and podcasts, as you say.
Yeah. And this is our opinion. We are not medical professionals. We are speaking about our own experiences, our disclaimer, and not speaking for the entire community. But really, it is important. Today was just about activating a conversation with people, for people to maybe think about how they are feeling, how they have been feeling, and is it possible that they are going through menopause? So that's kind of the purpose of today. It isn't to tell people what to do, but just to let them know it's happening and to have an open conversation, which didn't happen with our parents or our grandmother or our aunts. So, yeah.
No, I always remember feeling terribly sorry for my father because my mum was going through menopause as I was going through puberty. So, he had a nice hormonal sandwich, didn't he?
Yeah, oh, my God.
Bless him.
So, Becky, do you have content? Did you say you had a...
Well, I've been looking. I haven't managed to watch any. Really, but I was thinking obviously about the festive season. I don't know why I'm thinking about the festive season. It's only the beginning of November, but there was a film that came up saying called I Hate New Year, and I thought, well, I don't particularly like New Year, so let's have a look at it. So it's a nice musical romantic comedy, so you know how much I love those. it's based on a screenplay, and it sounds okay. It's basically someone has a successful music career. They then hit a roadblock and basically can't really overcome it. And then it's obviously a bit of a fortune teller tells them what's going to happen. And then it's the story associated with that. So it sounds nice and cheesy.
I like cheesy.
So it's called I Hate New Year. And I haven't watched it, so don't blame me if you hate this film.
And where is it on? Like, is it coming up or is it going to be on TV or films or cinema?
I presume it's on one of the streaming services. So it's from an American blog that I found it from. And it's not a screening service that I've used before. But I imagine most of them pop up on, you know, Prime or Netflix, don't they, from time to time. Mm-hmm. But thinking of New Year, obviously I'm in the UK and I do a lot of crewing for an organisation called Road Trippers Events, and they've got a New Year celebration in Todmorden, and Todmorden is a well-known town very close to Hebden Bridge. So if you remember, we had Colette on before, and I think this year there's not just the Todmorden disco happening at New Year, which is at the cricket club, but Road Trippers Events are doing a couple of events over the New Year period as well. So there's quite a lot happening in person, shall we say, around that time too. So if you're a bit like me and hate New Year, you've got some options to go and spend it with other people who maybe don't hate New Year quite as much.
Yeah. And someone special, Becky?
Say again, sorry?
Someone special?
Maybe. And yeah, who knows? But yeah, look at you gloating about whatever. Anyway, you've got some content as well. You were telling me about this fabulous documentary.
I put it on our Facebook page because it's called, let me see what it's called again, because it is called, it's Lesbian TV Documentary on 1981. And it was London, what did we say it was, LWT?
TV. Do, 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 do.
Did you see it? It was the old logo.
Yeah.
And I think it's called Gay, the program's called Gay City or Gay something. And it's all about lesbians. But how back in 1900, how like these three scientists decided what a lesbian was. A lesbian was a woman who was really a man, who had short hair, who wore like more masculine clothes, didn't like to go to balls, wouldn't sleep with women, had a high sex drive, and wanted to talk.
Do you mean wouldn't sleep with men at that point?
Oh, sorry, wouldn't sleep with men. Sorry, I
think clarifying that.
And has wanted to have intellectual conversations. And that was also feminist. But so what happened was they defined what a lesbian was in this book and in their research. But then throughout the years, then women didn't recognize they were lesbians because they didn't conform to that stereotype that men had created. Anyway, it's about 38 minutes. It's on, I want to say it was YouTube, but I've put the link on our Facebook page. And it's, it's Lesbian TV Documentary 1981, if you were looking for it on YouTube.
I am going to seek that out because I think it's really interesting watching those sorts of programmes, isn't it? It's obviously their take on the history, but now it's us. Gosh, what, 40 years on? How did that happen?
Yeah.
Gosh. Anyway, we're only 27, Caroline.
Yes. That's us. But yeah, it was great to see you, Becky.
And you. And you're looking very well. So all your sisters, beauty gifts are obviously working really nicely for you.
They are. And listeners, thank you so much for listening. I know it's been a while. Like we said, we have been both just a little bit too busy, which is not good enough excuse because we love this podcast and we love talking to you. And we hope it does help anybody who is listening. And we will try and have a podcast before Christmas. So do watch out. And thank you again.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.